May I speak in the name of God, who is the lover, the beloved, and the love sharer. Amen. This week, Al and I have been glued to a drama streamed on Prime called, what is it called? Shadow Lines. It's a drama set at the height of the Cold War and concerns Russia's return in 1956 of the Pokhara Peninsula to Finland, a peninsula that Finland had been forced to lease to Russia along with ceding the province of Karelia as part of the peace treaty that ended what the Finns refer to as the Continuation War, the Second Finno-Russian War of 1941 to 1944. It was actually a sub-theater of the larger conflict between Nazi Germany and Russia. With the Russia-Ukraine war very much in our minds today, Shadow Lines offers a glimpse into the perpetual struggle of Russia's European neighbors against its neo-colonialist and imperialist designs. Shadow Lines gives us a glimpse not only into the Finnish-Russian relations at the height of the Cold War, but also into the tensions between the pro-Western and pro-Soviet factions within the Finnish political establishment. They, in turn, playing out against a background of Moscow's own internal tensions as Khrushchev rises to power and defeats the pro-Stalinist faction led by Molotov. In Shadow Lines, there's depicted a brief homosexual affair between an American CIA agent and the nephew of the head of the Finnish Security Service. It's a very short interlude, yet it captures the spark of hope that comes in a moment when, perhaps for the first time, it's possible for these two men to imagine liberation from the crippling isolation resulting from the oppression and persecution that characterized societal attitudes towards what was called at the time the love that dare not speak its name. This is 1956, and of course the affair is doomed. No sooner sparked than it's over. And to provide you with any further detail would only serve to spoil the potential viewing pleasure for the rest of you. So I'll end the description of the affair here. On June the 19th, 1865, the black dock workers in Galveston, Texas, first heard the news of Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation. The arrival of Union troops in Galveston brought the promise of freedom for the enslaved. There were speeches and sermons and shared meals, mostly at black churches, the safest places to have such celebrations. The perils of unjust laws and racist social customs were still very great in Texas, where 250,000 persons remained enslaved. But the celebrations known as Juneteenth were said to have gone on for 7 days. Now, by a quirk of the local calendar, Gay Pride and Juneteenth celebrations fall on the same weekend. And there are two themes, I think, that link the gay interlude of Shadow Lines with Juneteenth. The first is the theme of hope. Hope that is sparked in the oppressed. In a moment, an epiphany, when the dark clouds of persecutions part to allow a glimpse of the rainbow of liberation to seep through. The second theme that unites these commemorations is the illusory nature of the first flush of promise. Like all epiphanies, it's no sooner here than it's gone. The persecution of gay men not only continued but increased in ferocity as the 1950s progressed. And the shocking white collusion against black liberty, known as the era of Reconstruction, maintained the literal, if not the legal, enslavement of African Americans until the challenge of the black-led civil rights movement of the 1970s. The era of agitation for change, beginning in the 1960s, gave birth to two great emancipation movements: gay liberation and black-led civil rights. Looking back over 50 years, we can see the huge inroads that these protest movements made into the institutional and societal oppression and persecution of LGBTQ persons and African Americans. And now we find ourselves living in a period when the forces of reaction are once again rallying to roll back the gains of the civil rights era, not only for African American and LGBTQ communities, but also for women. For the movement for women's rights was also the fruit of the civil rights struggle. Pride is the official name that identifies the movement that what was once known in my younger days as gay liberation. And although it's not officially adopted as a title for black or women's liberation movements, pride, the experience of claiming the full stature of one's God-given human dignity, is the underlying motivation in all three liberation movements. Although the gaining of civil and legal rights is paramount in making inroads into societal attitudes of discrimination and oppression, at the heart of the liberation struggle lies the experience of pride. As in, the experience of a profound reordering of an internal sense of self. LGBTQ persons, African Americans, and women are emblematic communities representing all communities of race, ethnicity, and religious affiliation, who once again find themselves in the crosshairs, literally as well as metaphorically, of white domestic terrorism, whether committed by estranged and possibly deranged individuals, or by a group of self-styled militia. The convergence in Providence of Pride Weekend and the Juneteenth celebrations is a coincidence that reminds us that at the heart of this weekend's celebrations of gay and black pride, there has never been a more vital need to continue to demonstrate and to protest the forces of reaction, whose trademark is the domination implemented through violence. At the end of our New Testament reading this morning from Paul's letter to the Galatians, we find some prophetic words. Now, Paul was a great apostle, but he wasn't always a great prophet, because Paul was a man who understood very well the societal and political limitations of preaching a message of liberation for all in a world violently conditioned by male patriarchy and economically dependent on the culture of enslavement. More often than not, Paul's social message is veiled. But every so often, the power of the Holy Spirit breaks through in him, as it does in the third chapter of his letter to the Galatians, where he proclaims that within the community of the baptized, there is no longer the oppression rooted in gender inequality, racial superiority, and the economic subordination of one human being to another. For all are made one in Christ. To his no longer male and female, no longer Jew and Greek, no longer slave or free. Had Paul been writing today, he might have been inspired to proclaim the abolition of a fourth category of discrimination, that of sexual identity. And he might have written, neither gay or straight, neither cis or transgendered. Paul begins his abolition of discrimination supporting oppression with, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ, you have clothed yourselves in Christ. And today we baptize two young boys, Giovanni and Messiah, into the family of Christ in the world, incorporating them through baptism into the community that strives to seek to be more fit for this world, to struggle against the discriminations that oppress, and to make the world a better place according to God's call to us for the purpose that he has for us. And as a preparation to witness Giovanni and Messiah's baptism, we all will be asked to renew our baptismal covenant. And in the baptismal covenant, we will promise to, with God's help, seek Christ in all persons, loving our neighbor as ourself, while striving for justice and peace among all people, respecting the dignity of every human being. This is the heart of our baptismal promise. And Giovanni and Messiah, through baptism, are being incorporated into our fellowship, where they, supported by their parents, godparents, family members, friends, and this congregation, will support them in their growth into the full stature of the human dignity that God calls them into. We as a community the church. Bear witness to God's love for the world. Love. It's not a sentimental, hippy-dippy concept. Christian love is always a verb, as in to love. Living out lives of love as we strive for a more equal society and for the healing of the world. And on the weekend of Gay Pride and Juneteenth, as Jesus modeled it, love is a social movement with a finely tuned radical agenda. And justice is its name. Amen.